life than to trust and obey. So we need to be fully alive. We need to trust and obey God to be fully alive. And I guess, like I said, we'll just go right on in because a lot of these are just falling right into place. The Bible tells us how to live, and as Christians, it tells us how to live and what to do, and tells us how to, right down to the way we ought to dress. And there's times, you know, I believe the Bible says we ought to dress modestly. And we just went through Genesis where God dressed Adam and Eve, and I believe He dressed them thoroughly all the way through. And I can't help it but see out in the world anymore the way that people dress, men and women. I know there was a few states a few years ago was saying, you know, women ought to go topless because of men. If it's okay for the men, it's okay for. But I believe it ain't okay for the men to go topless outside either. Right. I believe that's in the ought to stay in the bedroom itself. So, anyway, saying all those things, we need to look at ourselves and look at the world. We ought to be different. We ought to be a separate people. We're can't go after the worldly things. I know, I'm going to tell you, I'll confess, I love guns. And I know I told them kids this. And I got a boy that he'll pop up guns. I love him plumb to death. And I literally got to hold myself back. Because if not, I'd have a whole house full of them. But it is. It's a problem for me. So, but the idolatry is rampant. It's rampant in the churches. It's rampant out in the world. Yes. And as a church, we really need to be careful of those of idolatry, yes. Worshiping other things, putting other things before our God. Yes. And if we could, we'd go to over in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And Israel was full of idolatry at this time. The judge they had was crooked. His sons was crooked. This was right when Samuel first took over. And they went into battle without consulting the Lord, without consulting Samuel. And we'll start reading there. And it says, "And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Edenzer. Yeah. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." So here they went to battle without the Lord. Didn't confide in Samuel. And in verse 3 it says, "And then the people were come into camp, and the elders of Israel said, Therefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines. Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of the enemy." So here they went ahead of God. They didn't consult with God with anything, and which they was guilty of idolatry. They had, which I said that, but then they want to go fetch God. They want to go get the ark. They didn't necessarily, God wasn't in that box, but the box was His. So they decided they'd go get it. So we'll go get it, and God's going to help us. Yeah. That's what they thought. See, we're a lot of us are the same way. We want to use God. We want to do what we want.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when we get in trouble, we go get God and think right. He'll fix it.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it don't work that way.
Yeah.
So it says, "So the people sent to Shiloh, and they might bring forth thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark. And I'm going to tell you, those two boys right there was evil people. If you all go back and read all this, you'd find out. But and the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth this noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrew?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing henceforth. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues of in the wilderness." So they knew about the God of the Israel, and they thought that they was going to lose right there, but God wasn't going to be used. And so anyway, it says, "Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled, even every man, into the tent. And there was a very great slaughter for their fail of Israel, 30,000 footmen. So there we got 34,000 men that's died. And again, they tried to use God in a way that they got themselves in trouble. They went ahead of God and lost 34,000.
Right.
And the ark of God was taken. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. So, and if God told them that was what was going to happen, he was going to kill them. And Eli, if you go on down through there, Eli and his daughter was going to have, it was Phinehas' wife. And it's in chapter 19, and it says the daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, it's, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel."
Yeah.
And church, we've got to be really careful not to go ahead of God and get into an adulteress, and even in our personal lives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches in this county and in this state and everywhere that Ichabod's rode over.
Yeah.
When these kids was singing, I couldn't help but think that I have seen kids in these youth choirs that I know is down there in the bars right now, probably watching ball games and getting drunk. And a lot of them has come from churches that the glory of God has left them in their Ichabod.
Right.
A lot of them's got disco lights in their churches,
yeah,
playing rock and roll music right here.
Yeah.
And it disturbs me.
Yeah.
It hurts me to see all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your all's testimony, Brother Zach's testimony, a lot of times, and I'm going to read a scripture here. It's in Ezekiel that reminds me of all this. Like I said, I went into the deepest, darkest depression of my life, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. My pride and my arrogance and
But it's what it was God breaking my will.
Yeah.
For me to do what He wanted me to do.
Yeah. Good.
And in order for me to be fully alive, He must break me.
Yeah.
He must tear us down. In Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 27. And if you read more, if you read over in, into this a lot, it'll tell you why. After the guy here lost his throne, it was never Jesus is one. But it talks about, it says, I will overturn. It says, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diamond. That is something, the crown. They used to, the kings and things would wear their crown. And it was, a lot of times I think it was, they say it was silk, had diamonds and stuff on it. We are to remove that. God removes those things from us, our pride, our crown, what we want. And it says, I will overturn it, and I shall be, and it shall be no more until He comes whose right it is. When you're saved, Jesus is your right. He's the King. He will overturn you in every aspect of your life. And I thank Him for it. I want Him to overturn me in everything that I do that's not in His will. And sometimes I pray to be in His will and He does these things and I'm thinking everything's going to go right on through, just clicking, and then it hits a roadblock and we're stopped. And I get kind of discouraged, but He's still in control.
Yes, sir.
There is times that we are in a holding pattern. And it's good for me, and it's good for you. We think it's not, but it is. So don't think that just because you're getting smiting, it's because God loves you.
That's so good.
That's right. So, and I would really, I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 55. And I know I kind of talk to the church. I'm kind of speaking to people of the church. And I wish I could read this verse. Honestly, I'd like to read it in front of all Summersville, all of Nicholas County right now. There's a lot of people that want to throw out the Old Testament. And I've heard a lot of people. I had a boy one time tell me that I questioned him. He's supposed to be a saved man. He's getting tattoos. And I told him, I said, I understand, you know, people wasn't saved and getting tattoos. I said, but some of them things you're getting is just not godly. And I said, it tells us in the Bible that you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't mark your body. And he told me that was Old Testament. That was in Leviticus. He knew exactly where it was at. I said, yeah. He said, that don't pertain to this. I said, okay. So anyway, we're going to go here in chapter 55 of Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, ho, real loud, God Himself is telling the people, and if anybody is listening on the, I call it the interweb, it's the internet, I guess, but whatever that is, maybe sometime somebody might click on something, but if you're here and you're not saved, God is telling you to ho right now, stop what you're doing. Everyone that thirsteth. So we've been talking about the water. Brother Dennis was talking about the well. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Jesus Christ is the water. The Word is right here. God is the Word, the water. We need this water. Yes. Come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? He's saying, why are you spending money? Why is your labors for which satisfies not? Why are we out here laboring and trying to buy things and get things that's not satisfying us? Another thing that God, I want to thank Him for, and I think I've mentioned this before, is chewing. I spend a lot of money on chewing. The can of snuff that I chewed said it satisfied. It never satisfied me a bit because I had to keep going back and getting more and more and more, and it never did satisfy me. The Word of God satisfies you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And your labor will, for that which shall not satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me. God's saying, "Heart, please listen to me. And eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in the fatness." Jesus is calling out to you. He's wanting you. He's wanting your soul. He's wanting you to worship Him. He's wanting to be Lord and King of your life. Behold, behold, I have given... Wait a minute. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Do you all know who that nation is? Anybody? It's the Gentile nation. It's me and you.
Yeah, it is.
They say in the Old Testament, it don't matter. It's not. It don't pertain to us. But right here it is. He's calling out to the Gentile nation. For the Lord God, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. Yeah. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. We need to. He's here. He's near. He's who is it for? It's for all. He's with His arms wide open. He's calling us. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.
Yes. Amen.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yes.
Can't remember exactly where it says, but the whole world is full of iniquity, full of sin. But the grace of God, it don't matter how much sin or how much you've sinned or how sinful it is, the grace of God will abound, the mercy of God. I wish somebody, I got it in my head, but I don't know where it's at. Okay. So the grace of God will abound. Much more. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which is I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it.
Yeah.
For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace and mountains, and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come upon the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come upon the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name for an everlasting sing that shall not be cut off. I love it when it says, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Yeah, that's good.
When I'm out in the woods and I see them and I hear the
wind blow and them leaves, you can hear the leaves, and they're praising the Lord. The birds are singing, they're praising the Lord. And people don't want it. And why?
Yeah, it's good.
And I beg you and plead with you to come and know the Lord. He's so joyful. There's so much joy in the Lord. And I talk to people at work. I love them. And they'll even tell me they like picking on me about it. And I smile and say, it's okay. But one day, I know it's getting to them. I had a man the other day. He's got health problems. And he thinks enough of me to holler at me and take me aside and tell me what's bothering him. And I told him I can't fix it, but I know a man that can.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm hoping I get to talk to him again a little bit more. And if you're here and you're lost, if somebody come get a song of invitation. If you're here and you're lost, Jesus is, He told you, ho, anybody that thirsteth,
yes.
Come.
Yes, sir. That's good.
I read a sermon that Charles Spurgeon preached, and he told them, he said, you got chains and balls and chains on you. He said, bring them with you. If you got a hard heart, bring it with you. Come to God with them.
Yes,
He'll break the chains. He'll soften that heart.
Yes, sir. That's good.